Youth Sports Now presents Your Peak Performance, topics that support the well-being of your young athlete, presented by Peak Performance Physical Therapy in East Rochester.
And we are back on Youth Sports Now, and it is time for Your Peak Performance. This is the segment where we talk with Mike Naparella from Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training about all things for the well-being of youth athletes and how it fits into physical therapy and sports training. Hey, Mike, you know, last week we talked about returning to play for after a sports injury. You went through some examples of how you might transition an athlete from rehab to mobility and strength and balance into more total, you know, body dynamic athletic movements like jogging and other agility things. You know, we still getting some questions on this. You know, let's talk a little bit more about that and how does the process differ from athletes who have minor injuries to those who might have just a little tweak or maybe even a major injury?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, last week we started talking a little bit more about how that process goes in terms of trying to take things beyond normal rehab sort of exercises, balancing and strengthening and doing range of motion work. And let's say we get that patient to the point they're feeling really good, they don't have pain, they're generally performing those sort of life tasks well. But now we're thinking about what does it look like to be an athlete? And we talked about the need to transition purposefully in a structured way, in a progressive way toward jogging, toward sprinting, agility drills that are slow, toward things that are very fast. But you know, sometimes that scares people off in terms of if they have a minor injury, they don't want to formalize their care because they're worried they're going to have to go through this big, long, lengthy process. And certainly we do the same exact process with someone who's had a minor tweak, but that really gets accelerated. So let's say we've got an athlete who had an ACL reconstruction or someone coming off of a very severe injury or a fracture and they were immobilized. That process could very well go anywhere from 2 or 3 weeks up to 6 or more weeks of going through that progression gradually of jogging towards sprinting and agility work that's done very slowly to very intensely. Or a young athlete with a throwing injury, they're working on their throwing mechanics at very short distances to very long distances. Once that long toss is done, they start pitching the ball. They're pitching easier, then they're pitching harder. That can take a while. But if an athlete has a minor tweak, you know, they may get shut down for a few days or a week. They certainly don't need to step into a rehab program that's then going to take them through 6 weeks of a functional return phase. So they're mirror images of each other, but one is a really accelerated version of the other.
And do you think that, you know, when the kids come in to see you, and obviously with the parents, but when the kids come in, is this something that they're worried about? I mean, when they come in to see you, are they thinking, oh, geez, this could take a very long time, or maybe it's just a tweak? And again, we talked a little bit last week about how you deal with that, but is that a worry for these athletes?
Absolutely. I think probably nearly 100% of the time. You know, some might be concerned that there's an underlying stress of, you know, from coaches or parents or from their teammates or even themselves, that concern of not wanting to be pushed back too quickly, being fearful of getting injured again. But I think probably, you know, maybe the greater majority, Greg, has that sense of urgency, that expectation, that anticipation of, I really can't wait to get back. And some of them are willing to make poor decisions, you know, in spite of the fact that, you know, they've got medical advice, they've got a doctor recommending, they may have an athletic trainer, they've got a physical therapist, they've got parents who are worried. Nevertheless, there is this urgency to get back that, you know, whether they say it or whether it comes out later, some of them are willing to be dishonest, not quite fess up to the symptoms they're feeling. And that's why where it comes to some of that testing we talked about a week or two ago, when you can get someone out there and doing the right sort of testing, that's a good functional precursor to whatever they have to do. Let's say you're doing a hopping test for someone who has to run and cut or jump and change direction. Now I can compare one leg to the other. Even if you don't want to quite be honest with me how you're feeling, your body's going to tell the truth.
So I mean, in a lot of ways, it's, you know, seeing is believing for some of these athletes and the examples that you've described in previous weeks. You know, one thing I wanted to ask you, Mike, and it's sort of an underlying factor sometimes in some of the questions we get from our listeners is this. You know, we talk a lot about the elite athlete. And what about the average, everyday athlete, those kids who they play the sport for pure passion and pure love, and they're not necessarily the elite of the elite athletes. What happens when they get injured? Is there a difference in how you as a physical therapist and a sports trainer, how you have to approach the elite athlete versus the I don't want to call them weekend warrior kids, but the kids who are just average and love the game?
Yeah, absolutely. I love that question, because everyone that's out there is an elite athlete. We certainly don't want to put that sort of stress and pressure on the people who are recreational athletes, who are doing it just more for the fun of it, the love of it, something to do this season. They want to be with their friends. There's all kinds of reasons that kids participate in sports. Not everyone is aspiring to a D1 scholarship or to be a professional, and that's awesome for the kids who want to, but we want to take equally great care of the kids who don't have those same level of aspirations. So yeah, they're handled in similar ways, because the truth of the body, the truth of how we function, the truth of how an injury has to heal is true whether you're an elite athlete or whether you're a recreational athlete. But undoubtedly, things that differ are the psychology, the emotional makeup, the drive, the motivation of that athlete. Sometimes there's the risks that the athlete or their parents are willing to take in terms of how quickly someone's sort of being progressively, not aggressively, but progressively pushed to try to see if they can get back. We want to do that in the safest way possible, and that's why seeing a professional is so key. But if they're going to be functioning at very high levels, we want to make sure that we've crossed our T's and dotted our I's. When you get a recreational athlete in with a similar sort of injury, oftentimes they're feeling like, look, I don't have a spring sport I'm worried about. I'm not even going to play again until next season. We can take our time and go slow with this. And so the urgency, the push, the sort of not skipping a beat sense is a lot softer, a lot less stressful and pressing in those situations. On the physical rehab side, undoubtedly, the recreational athlete, although we want to be thorough, we're going to be a little bit less complex, certainly, in those situations, because they're not functioning at quite that same level. They don't have quite that same necessity in terms of the type of practices they're participating in or the skill and drill training that they do off on the side. That's part of their participation. So with an elite athlete, we've really got to stay on top of our game and step it up, because the complexity, the volume, the intensity are very different from someone who's a recreational athlete. But we don't want to ignore a recreational athlete. Greg, one of the things that really bothers me is that sometimes we see these recreational athletes treated by all everybody, sometimes medical professionals, sometimes by their coaches, sometimes by even parents, because we think that it's just a low-key sort of participation, that we can skip steps and just take them from the cast to playing, or take them from the brace to playing, or the time off to getting back into practice without transitioning them properly. And we remind them, it's still a human body. It still has to go through the steps of healing. We still want to follow a structured progression. We want to be thoughtful in being varied in our stresses so that we really think about what that athlete's about to go do. They may not be performing at the same elite level as a counterpart who's looking for a D1 contract or scholarship, but they're still out there playing soccer. They're still out there playing basketball, and the game itself has inherent demands to it that we really want to capture in the things that we do.
And I think that's an important point, Mike, because, you know, there are so many more of the recreational and the passion athletes versus the elite. But, you know, here's something that I've been thinking about as well with this, is that you hear in the media, you're always talking, not you, Mike, but the media is always talking about these professional athletes who are injured and they come back early. Or you hear, I mean, on various sports networks, you hear something like, you know, this football player, this wide receiver is coming back early, and the reason he's coming back is because he's in such fine shape. He's a physical specimen as an athlete. You know, the kids see that. The kids hear that. And whether the kid is an elite high school athlete, or whether that youngster is a recreational passion athlete, they're still seeing these wide receivers and quarterbacks and hockey players come back way earlier than what was first reported. How do you deal with that? And I'm sure that there's not only, again, the physical, but the mental, and also the complex and the basics that need to be done.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point that you bring up, because we do battle that all the time. I guess one of my first responses would be, let's also not forget RG3, Washington Redskins.
Yep.
Right? Injured a little bit, not quite 100%, looked at them, did some quick testing, get them back on the field. Now, I don't remember the exact story about whether that happened from 1 week to the next, but certainly within the game it did. So there's a lot of complexities to those situations, athletes going back. Another football example would be on the Bills, Stevie Johnson. Wide receiver, awesome athlete, goes out with a groin strain or a hamstring strain. You know, they're rehabbing him. Obviously, he's a talented player. They want to get him back as soon as they can. They've got excellent people on staff. There's a lot of pressure to perform. He has a love for the game. I don't know him personally, but you can just tell these athletes want to play. Some people think it's all about the money to them, but they love the game. They've been working their whole life at this. This is their opportunity. But when they come back early, he's been back and forth on the IR or on the off the field,
right,
trying to rehab, because either they go restrain the same muscle again or they injure a different body part. And so I would caution the people who look at those pro athletes and see the ones who are returning quickly. Yeah, we can talk about that in a second. I think you're right on target with sort of they have some super genetics behind them as well. But there's also numbers of them who are remaining off because they respect their body and understand that it needs to perform well if they're going to survive back on that field or court. They got to do it right. And for those who take those risks and do come back early, there are many times those people pay a price for that choice. Now, they have different pressure on them with millions of dollar contracts and those sort of things at that level. They're owned by the team.
Right,
no high school kid or college athlete is, even on a scholarship, quite fully owned.
Right.
So some of them put their body at significant risk over these things. And some of them can't walk later or lift their arm up into the cupboard to grab a cup because of those things. So we got to remember there's a price to pay that we don't always see immediately. So we really want to have integrity about caring about the health of that athlete. And when you look at the pro athlete who gets back quickly, I believe there absolutely is something to be said for that sort of superhuman genetics. Only the very elite of the elite ever make it to the pros to begin with. These people have special bodies. And to some degree, for many of them, I'm sure that we would say that that's genetically. So maybe they have a super ability to recover as well. They've been awful resilient to make it that far. But let's not also forget, they've got highly trained physicians and therapists and trainers and strength and conditioning coaches who are on top of them just about maybe 24/7.
Sure.
Most of us normal humans don't get to have therapy twice a day, four times a day, every day. We don't see our trainer or our physical therapist or our doctor every day. So they're trying their very best not to skip a beat, and that's because they're being paid millions of dollars to do those things. It'd be awesome if all of us had access to that sort of care, but in today's world, it's just not a reality. So there's a number of reasons why those people can go back quickly. Some of it may be choices that are not necessarily fully responsible, but some is just due, I think, to their genetics and the fact they're getting frequent care.
And, you know, you talk about care, Mike, and I know that at Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training, you've got something coming up with I think it falls right into everything we talk about and well-being and so on with the athletes. You've got something you're doing with the Peak Performance Physical Therapy, a sports injury clinic. How what is that and how's that going to work?
Yeah, Greg, we're really excited about this. We've just decided recently that as we continue to get more requests from parents especially, but coaches as well, but especially parents who are looking for someone to help them make that decision of what to do next, that they just need a quick answer. Do I go to the emergency room? Do I see my pediatrician? Do I go see an orthopedist? Do we just wait on it for a few days? You know, especially for those people who don't have access to the athletic trainer in school, who is very frequently in the high schools, catching at least a significant number of these kids when they first get hurt or within days, to be able to help them make that decision. Maybe start them on care, but maybe just direct them to a physical therapist or maybe direct them to a physician or maybe even a specialist like an orthopedist. Lots and lots of people don't have access to that person to help them make that decision. And so we're offering now the sports injury clinic that we'll make available to a grade school and high school and college level athletes. And it's just going to be a quick screening thing. It'll probably be about a 15-minute visit, but it'll give us a chance to get our hands on them as a professional, take a look at them, ask them some key questions, put them through some tests, try to help them understand the type of injury they may be dealing with, and just help them try to understand better what the next step is.
So, Mike, is this something that with the Peak Performance Physical Therapy, the sports injury clinic, is that something where you're looking at it where the athlete has to have some sort of nagging injury? Or could a parent say, hey, look, you know, I've been noticing a few things, or a coach say, I've been noticing a few things about this athlete, call you up and sign up and make an appointment for the sports injury clinic?
That's a great question. That's probably two different things. For that sort of a situation, that was more of a long-standing sort of thing that's not really limiting them in that significant of a way, but certainly needs to be addressed. And that sounds like a physical therapy sort of problem. We would encourage those people to give us a call at, we're at 218-0240. They can catch us on the web at peakptrochester.com and try and contact us and set up what we call a direct access visit if they choose to do that. They can come in for an actual full visit. That way we can do sort of a more problem-solving, thorough evaluation. And one of our therapists will try and problem-solve for them what's going on and set them on the right path. This sort of sports injury screening clinic is more of a triaging opportunity, if you will, so that people aren't having their friend or a parent who may not be medically knowledgeable at all or a coach make suggestions of how they should handle the injury without really having the ability to even do a quick assessment to be sure. You know, that athletic trainer, for example, who's in the high schools, they're going to do a quick screen on them. They put them through some orthopedic tests, try to verify, you know, is this a level of an injury that requires immediate, urgent medical attention? Some things need to go to an emergency room.
Sure.
Some things are going to go need to be casted. Some things may need to be operated on tonight. Some things may need to have x-rays to rule out a fracture. But many, 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 in fact, the great majority of injuries aren't going to be fractures that need that care. And there's lots of people out there, Greg, who are going around right now sort of self-treating and self-diagnosing or looking up on the internet, but never really having a professional get their hands on them. They don't want to necessarily wait the time it's going to take to get a visit scheduled with their physician, but they need somebody skilled and knowledgeable in orthopedics to be able to point them in the right direction. So we're certain that obviously some of these people we're going to possibly ship right off to an orthopedic urgent care facility to be seen immediately, or some might need to go to an emergency room. Some of these people are just going to be advised that it's okay to sit on it for a few days, ice it, rest it, and then see how they're doing. Some of these things are just going to fade away over the days to come. It's a minor tweak. And some things may be best cared for in physical therapy, and we'd be able to help them where we could then transfer them into maybe a direct access visit where we can help them make some good choices on the right exercises and movements to start with. So it's really just a short screening visit. It'll point them in the right direction. It'll just be a $25 visit. It's not something that we're going to be taking insurance for. So it's something we want to make very quick and convenient for the people out there to get some help.
Absolutely, you know, fantastic. So the Peak Performance Physical Therapy, the Sports Injury Clinic, make sure you give Mike a call and his team a call. Of course, you can go to Mike's website and also our radio show's website at youthsportsnowradio.com, and you can get all of Mike's information, contact information there, and go ahead and make that Sports Injury Clinic appointment. It sounds like a good one. Hey, when I come back, we'll have a final thought from my dugout.